So the topic that we would put for this series is talking about various different computer slash internet questions, and trying to understand them, not just, you know, piskei halacha, boom, 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 but seeing if we can understand see the sugya a little bit behind it and understand the swars in the halacha. What's fascinating about the sugya is that a lot of this, we're starting from scratch. It's like, you know, I can look up, you know, in Shulchan Aruch, you know, Simon so-and-so, Hilchus computer with internet. So it's a new sugya, which allows us to be creative to some extent and have a certain amount of a kishmak that we can, you know, we can work through the sugyas, etc. What I want to start with is a few questions which suggested to me about attending online meetings in a business context specifically. How do I have to dress for that type of meeting? Do I have to dress in the way which is appropriate for the meeting, or can I dress anyway? So I put on my tie and my shirt, and I'm still wearing my pajama bottoms, right, and my slippers, my flip-flops. Is that so? Am I fooling the members of the meeting by the fact that I'm dressed in a certain way? I make a virtual background behind me. I'm sitting in bed, propped up in pillows, enjoying my rest in my bed, and I'm attending my business meeting that the boss says I cannot dare miss, and I don't want him to see that I'm sitting in my bed with propped up in pillows, because he would not be very happy with that. So I put behind that a picture of my office, my home office. And I take a picture and I put that as my virtual background for my Zoom meeting. Is there element, let's say I'm attending a shiur, having a one-on-one conversation with a Talmud Chacham. So nobody can see me. I don't turn on my video. So that they can't see me, what I look like. Is there any issue of Alt Kavod HaTorah? How do I look? My boss is—he tends to speak long-windedly, and he drones on and on, so that we can set up the computer in such a way that all you see is my face. You don't see what my hands are doing, so I can be busy working on doing something else, another device, whether it's gaming or whether it's work, while I am seemingly looking very intently at my boss. I can even take a picture of myself looking very intently at my boss. And I'll listen to him, but while I'm listening to him, I'm doing other things as well. Is that a problem of, are these problematic? So I think if you look at a lot of these, most of these questions, the questions go to the concept called Ganevus Das. That's where I think we're starting the question from. There'll be some other issues as well, and we'll try and address those. But let's understand the concept called Ganevus Das. There's a halacha concept called Ganevus Das. It's Gemara in Chulin in the seventh parak, and the Gemara comes up with a unequivocal statement that's also lignum das abrius. Even the Gemara says even that of a non Jew. There's an issur to be Ganev Das Habrius, even that of a non Jew. It's paskened in Choshe Mishpat in the Siman Reish Chav Ches. Is paskened in the Rambam, both in Hilchos Deyos and in Hilchos Mechira. There's an issur of Ganevus Das, not only from a Jew, but even from a non-Jew. This issur of being Ganevus Das. This issur of Ganevus Das is a Mechlokes Rishonim, if that's an issur deraisa, or an issur derabbanan. The Ritva on the sugya over there in Chulan, Daf Sadi Gimel, the Ritva says very clearly that he feels that this is an issur deraisa. It goes into the pasuk of Lo Tignovu, which is this week's parsha, Lo Signovu, you bring every Isser the rights of Lo Signovu when a person is Ganev Das. He quotes in the Balei Tosis to that effect. He's really referring to the Yerayim, which is one of the Balei Tosis, the Reliazim he Metz, that the Pazans, it's an Isser the rights. The Bach in Choshe Mishpat feels it's an only Isser the Rabban and an Isser the rights. It's not, you can't really describe it as Ganeva. It's not really stealing from somebody. Maybe we should call it, it should go under the umbrella of Einoa, which is some way irritating somebody, etc. Well, I'm not really irritating him because, you know, some way taking advantage of him. I'm not really getting any advantage out of him from the situation. I'm just fooling him, as it were. So maybe that should not, maybe it should go into this or Einoa. They seem to be feeling that doesn't go into this or Einoa either. Just explain how you could feel that this Isser of Geneva, Geneva's Das, goes under the into the umbrella of the Isser of Lo Tignovu. I think it's a fascinating idea to think about it, why that should be so. Why should we think that Geneva, which is it seems to be taking an object and causing a person damage in some way, would include Geneva's Das, which I'm not necessarily even causing the person damage in any way, shape, or form. So there's no damage involved. It's not similar to the world of Hezek, etc. So how would you understand that? To make the question a little bit stronger, even there's a fascinating Rabbeinu Yonah in Masechtas Avos that he says that the source for the Isser of Mazik is the Isser of Gzela. The Torah never says anywhere that it's also to be Mazik, but it's clear in the Gemara there's an Isser to be Mazik. There's an Isser midin deraisa of being Mazik somebody, independent of payment. There's an Isser of doing the action. Where does it come from? So the Meforshim grapple with maybe the one suggestion is Kregor says it comes from a Shabbos Aveda. If I'm mechuyev to return Avedas to you, which means I prevent you from a loss which would happen passively, by me not helping you, you're sustaining a loss, and I can prevent that. I'm mechuyev to prevent that. So Kal v'chomer, I shouldn't actively cause you a loss. But the Rabbeinu Yonah says the source is from Lesigzel, which means he understands clearly that the main problem with the Isser Lesigzel is not the act of Gzela, but the damage which I'm causing to the person. So therefore, what's the difference if I damage you by destroying your item, I damage you by taking your item, I've accomplished the same thing. So the root of this of Gzela is in the damage which it causes. So what about Geneva? Chazal specifically used the Lashon of that Geneva Stas. They didn't call it Gezela Stas. They called it Geneva Stas. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal in his Sefer Emes Yaakov on Chumash in this week's Parsha says, if you look at the language, how the Torah uses the word Geneva versus the word Gezela, it's very clear that they are used very differently. In this expression, we have Loisigzol, and we also have Lotignovo. And the Pasuk of Loisigzol says, Loisashok esreachov Loisigzol. Do not be Oishakim, do an act of Oishak, of some way taking advantage of his money. Oishak is understood to be a case where I owe a person money in some way and I'm refusing to pay it. He works for me and I don't pay him, etc. That's called Oishik. Below Sigzel. So, assuming that the phrase of the Pasuk is Lo Yisashik Esrecha, Below Sigzel, that Lo Sigzel is going back in Esrecha, so it's as if the Torah wrote Lo Sigzel Esrecha. Now, how would you translate Lo Sigzel Esrecha? Do not steal your friend, right? That's the English translation. Lo Sigzel Esrecha. Lo sigzol dal kidalhu, pasuk in Mishle. Lo sigzol dal kidalhu. Don't steal the ani. Don't steal him. So it means you don't kidnap the guy. We're not talking about kidnapping the person. We're talking about stealing from the person. See, even though it doesn't say the word min, we understand that the word gzela by itself means the impact I'm having on the person of taking something from him. That's intrinsic in what the word is. The act of gzela is the act of some way affecting the person negatively, taking something from him. By Geneva, Geneva is used not so much to discuss the impact on the other person, but the act that you are stealing. And therefore, if you would write, when the Torah would write a language of being Goinev, the person, it means actually be Goinev of the person. Because the point is the act that I'm doing, so if we mention the person in the Pasuk, it's an object, it's not part of the verb. Whereas by Gzela, the person that you're stealing from is part of the verb. The act of gzela is taking something from somebody. So I can mention the person's name and understand that it's not I'm taking him, but I'm taking from him, because the act of gzela is the interface between two people. Geneva is the act of stealing. So why am I mentioning the other person? It means it's being written as a direct object. I'm stealing the person. That's his thought process, which means that the correct way to understand Geneva is not so much the result that I'm accomplishing, but I am acting in a way which is in some way incorrect. I am appropriating something to myself. So it's regardless of the damage which it causes. So from that vantage point, we understand why Chazal referred to Geneva's Das as Geneva's Das and not Gzela's Das. I can't steal your mind. I can't take something from it. I'm not even causing you a damage. What I am doing is, in some way or other, what I am doing is I am doing something inappropriate in regards to the responsibility of respecting the other person. So the root of the problem is that I am, in some way, not respecting the concept of the rights of human beings not to be taken advantage of. So by me doing something which I'm fooling you, even if I get no benefit out of it in any way, shape, or form, that's called Gnevus Das, and that's also. So Mora gives an example. The Mora says that they used to store wine in barrels, and once you open the barrel, the wine deteriorates much more quickly. So if you have a large barrel and you open it up, it's a good chance you'll end up throwing out a lot of the wine, because it's not going to be able to maintain itself once it's opened. It spoils. So that being said, if I have a very, very hush of guests coming to my house, I would open a barrel of wine to give them nice fresh wine, even though I know I'm going to end up throwing out the rest of the barrel, but it's worth it for the covet of this person. So let's say I have a situation where I'm planning to sell, I have intention to sell this barrel of wine, giving it, I'm not necessarily a chevroni, but I arrange with the chevroni that he should take the barrel and sell it, and he'll pay me for it. So in the store, it sells very quickly. It's not a problem of opening it up. So I'm planning to open it up and give it to him tomorrow morning. I got a knock on the door. My friend comes. I say, you know what? Hey, you know, why don't you take it, have some wine? He says, and I go and I open the barrel in front of him. And he says, wow, he thinks I'm so chashav. He's willing to open up a barrel in my for me, even though he's going to lose the value of the barrel. Now, the truth is, I'm not losing the value of the barrel because I'm selling it tomorrow. Right? So I'm not losing any value at all, but he thinks that I'm doing it because of my recognition of his stature. So I'm fooling him to believe that I think he's chashav when I don't really believe he's chashav. So the more, so that goes into the issur of Gnevus Das. I'm fooling the person in some way or other. So let's take it into the situation here so far. Okay, so I come to this meeting, and I look like I'm very, very respectful in the meeting. I'm wearing my shirt and my tie, etc. And I'm wearing my boxer shorts and my flip-flops down below, right? Or I'm playing on my gaming device at the same time. I'm sitting in my bed, propped up in pillows, right? Lounging around, listening to the boss, you know, getting the main points, etc. Everything I have. So I'm not in any way causing a financial loss to the company. I am listening enough to make sure I got all the information I need to get. I'm doing what I have to do. But I am, if somebody can witness both sides of the picture, you'd show a dual screen, it would show that I'm not being giving the person the respect that he thinks that I'm giving him. So I put this virtual background on the back of my office, and it looks like that I have that I'm hunched over. And if I'm very good at it, like, you know, take a picture of myself in the office, looks like I'm looking at him. Meanwhile, I'm sitting in my bed in my pajamas, right? So he doesn't have to see what I look like. Now, that doesn't look very lifelike. So there's ways of doing it to make it more lifelike. You can change the pictures along the way so that you see movement from the person along the way, right? So I'm very good at that. I'm clearly deceiving the boss. Now, the deception is not causing him any financial loss at all, so you can't argue the problem over here is that I'm actually stealing from the company. I am not attending the meeting. I'm not getting information I need from the meeting. I'm not doing my responsibility vis-a-vis the company, so I'm getting paid a salary without doing my due diligence for my work. I'm not doing any of that. That would be obviously more problematic because I'm getting paid a salary and I'm not doing my work. No, I'm doing it my way, you know. So it's the boss's problem that he gets so stuck up. He worries about what I think about him, right? That it's a lack of respect for him, the fact that I'm dressed the way I am, but I don't want to listen to the earful from the boss. So I have a very simple solution. I set myself up in such a way that he won't know about it. But I'm actually deceiving him, believing him that I'm giving him cover. So that would seem to be a problem of Gnevus Das, which again, according to the Ritva, according to the Urayim, is an Issur D'oraisa. And then the Gemara is very clear that it's true whether it's Jewish or not Jewish, or the person is Jewish or not Jewish. Doesn't make a difference. It's an Issur D'oraisa. Okay. Now, the Gemara continues. The Gemara says the following story. The Mor says, I do not remember the names of the protagonists, the different Amoraim. The Mor says there was a story that Amora A set out from one city to go to another city. So he's traveling for his own purposes from city A to city B. And along the way, there's an Amora coming from another direction and says, wow, you came out to greet me. That's so nice of you. So he said, you know, to tell you the truth, I didn't come out to greet you. I was planning to go. I was going this way anyway. So the Mor takes him to task for saying that. He had no need to say that. So the Mor says, what do you mean, Skenei Bastas? So we'll call them Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven is going to the hospital to visit his sick relative. Meanwhile, while he's there, he walks down the hallway, he notices the name on the room, and he notices it's a fellow Shimon that he knows from Shul. So he stops, you know, so he meets Shimon in the hallway. Shimon is their patient there, and Shimon is walking down the hall, coming back from some test. They're bringing him back, and he says, wow, Reuven, you came to visit me in the hospital. That's so nice of you. Now, the truth is, Reuven did not come to visit him in the hospital. Shimon thinks that Reuven thinks so highly of him that he's willing to visit him in the hospital. Shimon thinks that he's such a good friend of his. That wasn't his intent at all. But he didn't actively do this for deception. His goal over here wasn't to deceive the other patient. He had no intent of that at all. He was going to the hospital to visit his relative. And he happened to bump into this guy from Shul. So the Mor says, in that case, I'm walking from city A to city B. And I bump into this fellow, and he says, oh, it's so nice that you came out to greet me. You think I'm so cautious that you get mamash, walk out of the city to greet me. Ladam. The Mor says, there's no chiyuv to tell him otherwise, because he's fooling himself. Like, I'm walking down the street, I have to assume every person that who's coming the other direction is there to greet me. I'm walking to shul, and I see people coming back from the early minyan. No, they're not coming back from the early minyan. They're coming out from shul to say hello to Eli Reingold. I mean, why should I make that mistake that I have a need to explain to you? No, the reason why I'm walking right now is not because I want to greet you. It's because I happen to be going this way anyway. So I have no need to tell you that because I'm fooling myself by believing that they're there to greet me. So that's not considered Genei Vistas. So any scenario where the normal situation, people would understand that's not my intent, right? That's not my goal. Right? So let's say a situation where it's quote unquote not the boss, and we could argue that it's understood in society nowadays, for better or for worse, that people could go to these meetings online, dressed however they want to be dressed, as long as they don't turn on the video, or even they do, you know, as long as they don't show. I happen to notice the headlines. You know, they have the coronavirus headlines, so they usually have like, you know, very important headlines. So one of the headlines was, you know, in the wake of the coronavirus, the idea of video conferencing has taken off. It says that Zoom's client base went from 10 million people before this to 200 million people now have Zoom accounts. They added 190 million people, most of them being doctors and educators, which are for free. So they didn't really make any more money. They just have another 190 million people that they have to service. So it's very nice of them, right? Right. So that's part of the coronavirus news headline. So I noticed the headline. I didn't read the details, but I noticed a headline about a newscaster who was anchoring the newscast from his home, sitting in his shirt and his whatever, wearing his shorts, etc. But he didn't realize that they could see his legs in the video. So he looks like he's, you know, dressed up appropriately for the situation. But meanwhile, there's 5 million viewers out there with seeing the guy in his shorts. So we can imagine such a scenario. But that story tells me that it's potentially in the society. This is ubiquitous. So that are you confident that I'm really dressed up by seeing the fact that I'm wearing a tie and a shirt? Maybe you're just fooling yourself. So somebody which you know would demand has an expectation of that respect, and you do it specifically to make sure that he shouldn't be upset about it, you're trying actively to deceive him. So that's a problem of Gnevus Das. But if I'm not doing that intentionally, we're all equal. It's all equals in the meeting. And, you know, I run and put on a shirt, just, you know, that you have some level of respectability. And I leave my pajamas on. There's nobody in the meeting who should be assuming that I'm not wearing pajama pants. Because they're all wearing pajama pants anyway, most of them. So the guy comes and says, wow, he says, you know, he looks so nice. He got dressed just for our meeting. He's fooling himself. So arguably that would not be considered an issue of Gnevus Das in a situation where the person is fooling himself. Now, I just want to tell you this is not necessarily a computer issue, but in that scenario in the hospital or those type of scenarios, you end up, I had a scenario, I went to Lakewood for a class, I went to Lakewood to bake matzahs. I joined a chabura there who bakes matzahs. And I stopped in by a chasna of a friend of mine in Lakewood. Now, the person who's making the chasna in Lakewood, I would not have traveled from Silver Spring to Lakewood for the purpose of the chasna. Not that he's not close enough that I would want to do that. If I do that, I'd be spending every single week, a few nights a week in Lakewood going to chasnas. I can't do that. Okay, so I stopped in, and he says, wow, it was so nice of you to travel all the way from Silver Spring for my chasna. So what do I tell him? I said, no, you should know I did not come for you. I came to bake matzahs. I would not have come for you specially because I don't want you to, Gnevus Das, you should think that I'm coming to you specially. So in order to be careful, to make sure that you shouldn't make that mistake, I want to inform you that you're not chush enough for me to come to Lakewood for your chasna. So I was just over in the Issa Derisa of what's called a Nos Devorim, right? That arguably is called a Nos Devorim. I'm hurting the person's feelings. So I'm caught between this, like, the answer is this Gemara. The Gemara is saying that it is common enough that people are in the city for other reasons that he doesn't have to assume I'm there for that purpose. I came to the hall specifically for that purpose, but I would not necessarily have traveled 6 hours, 3 hours each way for that purpose. But the other way around is a Nos Devorim. So I'm not mechuyev to tell him. The same thing in the case of the hospital, right? People go to visit, do I have to, should the, by my fellow Mispalo, assume that the reason why I came to the hospital is to visit him? Maybe I came to the hospital because I have to be there for tests myself. Maybe I came to the hospital because I have a relative that I want to visit. Maybe I came to the hospital for, I'm applying for a job there. That the reason why I came to the hospital is, he's assuming it's for himself. That's a mistake on his part. I'm not mechuyev to disabuse him of that understanding. I can't actively support that because then I'm actively deceiving him. Says, yeah, you know what? I like you so much, I decided I'll drop in. That I can't do because I'm actively deceiving him, because that's not true. But I'm not, and I'm not mechuyev to, and therefore I'm not allowed to, because it'll be insulting and it'll cause him pain. It'll be a form of a Nos Devorim to tell him that I simply did not come for you. Or potentially could be. If you could say it in a way that wouldn't be true, then you wouldn't have to do that. Now, is there any concern besides Gnevus Das in these situations? So we said the example that you have a Kavod HaTorah situation. So just to give a non-halachically binding story, there was a tremendous Talmid Chacham who lived in Williamsburg, came after the war. He was the head of the Adas Yireim, which was the Wiener Kehila. So Wien was not Hasidish. It was Erbelandish, but in some ways they had some in Hagen which were similar to the Hasidim, etc. So the head of that Kehila was a person named Rabbi Yonason Steif. Steif was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. We have Chubas Mari Steif. He wrote a Sefer Chadashim Gan Yashonim on Mesechtas Brachas, Mesechtas Chulin, etc. Rabbi Yonason Steif had on Hagen, when he would call Rav Moshe on the phone to speak to him, he would stand up. If Rav Moshe would call him, he would stand up. He was not comfortable being in a situation where he is seated while he's talking to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, Rav Moshe does not see him. Rav Moshe does not know whether he's standing or sitting. This is, you know, the 1950s. There was no video cameras hiding anywhere. Rabbi Nachman's covered a Torah, he felt it was inappropriate that he should be seated when he's talking to Moshe Feinstein. Now, that's not a halachically binding status. So the din of kavod, do you find anywhere this idea of giving kavod when the Talmud Chacham is not visible? So at first glance, the halacha is that the chiyuv of kavod is only when you're within the Dalet Amos of the Talmud Chacham. There is a Gilyan Mashah, who is medayik from a Gemara. The Gemara in Kedushin says that Rabbi Yosef, when he heard the footsteps of his mother, he would say the Shekhinah is coming, and he would stand up. So the Gemara understands the minig that we have, that we put bells on the Sefer Torah, because if there's a key of kavod for a mother, there's a key of kavod for the Sefer Torah. So the Shach says that when you hear the bells, you should stand up, even though you don't see the Sefer Torah yet. He says, you see in this Gemara that Rabbi Yosef stood up even though before the mother came within his vision. Now, Rabbi Yosef was blind. So Pasha the Gemara is saying that he was blind. She was there within the halachically required distance. But he had to rely on hearing the footsteps because he was blind. But the Gemara Mishon understands that the Gemara is saying that as soon as he heard the footsteps of the mother, he stood up. So in modern version, I'm sitting at home, and my father's car pulls into the driveway. My father's car has a distinctive putt, 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 because it needs a new muffler. He's the only guy in the neighborhood who needs a new muffler. So when I hear that putt, 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 putt going into my driveway, I know my father is home. It's according to the Gemara Mishon, I should stand up even before he walks in the door. Else covet. My father is coming, I should stand up. So here you have a situation. The act of giving covet is nothing to do with the other person receiving it. He doesn't see you. He doesn't even know that you know that he's there. But you have a chiyuv to give kavod, because the chiyuv kavod is upon you to give kavod, regardless of whether the other person can see it or not. We don't paskin like this Gemara Mishnah, but at least he introduces such a concept that the idea of giving kavod. So the chiyuv of standing up, I'm talking to a Talmud Chacham on a video conference, I don't think I have to stand up. But that I should be dressed in a way which would be appropriate for that which maybe we could say that this is even less than that the issue over here is not even covered, but there's an act of disrespect. So that I'm, as it were, making light of the fact that I'm having a conversation with the Talmud Chacham. So maybe that would be a compelling reason that I would have a chiyuv to get dressed before I talk to him. And I think, obviously, beside Musar, that would be appropriate, but even beyond the halacha of Musar, could be there be a halacha compelling chiyuv of kavod in that situation, the swara of the Gilyan Mashal would make sense to apply in that situation. Now, this is all these scenarios are talking about, that anything else that I'm doing is not detracting any way from my financial responsibility. I'm not lounging in my pajamas and sort of like spacing out and not listening. I'm listening very well. I enjoy being in more comfortable clothing, or I prefer being in more comfortable clothing. But if I'm going to be distracted in some way or other, so then there's a financial issue of I'm not attending. What about a situation where I'm listening well, but I'm doing another activity and he can't see me? But I'm doing it in such a way that he can't see me. I'm sort of like actively hiding my activity on my phone or my gaming thing from his view. Now, I can't believe that there's not a financial potential problem over there also. You might miss something that he says. So even though he's boring and droning out, that doesn't make it mutter for you to not listen, because you might miss important information. But even if you feel confident that you can do that, you're a Chaim Moser and you can do two things at once, but you're actively deceiving him that you're listening, so that would be problematic. Okay. So we touched on some of those ideas. Bez Hashem will touch on, I want to touch on some of the computer issues of kavod to Shem Hashem and those type of things on a computer screen. We will talk about some of the Shabbos issues of business with computers on Shabbos, ordering something that should come for Shabbos, etc., those type of things. That'll be hopefully next week. I do want to talk about using somebody else's Wi-Fi, hacking into somebody else's computer, those type of things, those issues. That'll be hopefully the week after that. We will talk about the halachas of having a filter, etc. So but we have a lot of things to talk about. Meanwhile, thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining. Everybody should be well, should be safe, and we should have a good night. Call to. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for joining. Thank you for joining. Okay. Thank you. There is a recording of this, and it will be posted. So, Max, do me a favor. Set